Welcome to the Bring the Wood podcast. It's your boy RK rocking with
JD. Feeling good after week one, ready to rock and roll and get a divisional game on Sunday.
What's good? One of us is feeling good. I am irritated looking at that injury report, man. But it is what it is. Let's see what it looks like tomorrow. You know, it's Thursday. It's not promising, you know, looking at the guys that are banged up and didn't practice. But if there's one thing that we could overcome, it's depth at certain positions. I don't think we can handle any more injuries. I don't know about you, but I think this is like this is the top of it. Like, I think we're done with trying to fill holes with what we've got on our roster. What injuries stand out for you right now that you're looking at the injury report?
Obviously, Marcus Davenport, you know, just the camp he was having, or had, I guess, and the first week he looked pretty good too in the first half against Green Bay. Losing him is going to hurt. Hopefully, our first round rookie can come in, step up, and produce at half the level.
You're fading over there, eh?
Already we minute one and a half here. And then I guess the other big one, although it didn't play too big of a factor on Sunday, but maybe from the get-go, Eric McCoy not being at center changes the guard outlook with Throckmorton being there, but serviceable for sure. But obviously, you know, Green Bay's defensive scheme would have changed at that point too, because they're already down by three or four touchdowns. So
yeah,
when the score is zero and the clock says 15 in the first quarter, you know, the mentality is different. So I think those two, obviously, in the trenches hurt the most. But
yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I look at the injury report and I'm just thinking, you know, from black and white looking at it, the trenches really does hurt. But I think a little bit more into the fact of, like, the oomph on our team. Quan adds something to our team. If he can't play, that's a bit of energy that's just gone. You know, like, that's something that I don't think other guys on our team replicate. Like, CeeDee, you know, he does his own thing, and DeMario's always got some life going. But Quan just brings a different bounce to the roster, I think. And I think not having Quan really does hurt our energy and the way that we might come out. So I'm really hoping he can play. Hopefully they're just being cautious with him. They know he's a veteran and he can handle a couple days off and then jump back in. The DNP scares me, but these injuries happened in that Green Bay game. Let's not shortchange that. Is there anything that you want to talk about that Green Bay game? I know we had a post-game pod, but there's anything that you didn't get to talk about that you're like, you know, I thought about this after. I wish I would have talked about it on the pod.
You know, I think everything kind of just fell together at the right time and all the pieces moved properly. And besides the injuries happening, it was like I said, a flawless game. I don't feel like, you know, that was the best game of our year at that point, neither, though. Still have better things ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the score outcome, but I feel just like different, you know, like minor areas that maybe when I noticed on the first watch that you might have picked up on the second watch that, you know, could probably clean up a little bit, whatever. But who am I to say how they feel, right? Like that they probably feel like they had a perfect game. And if that's their mindset going into this week and they can play those kind of games and to start the year off that way, that's huge. But just looking at the standings and seeing that we are, you know, we're undefeated after the first week, that's what you want. And if we can keep that train rolling week to week, man, then life is good. Like, I know you were talking, you're all excited last time and saying, you know, I don't see us losing until, I think it was week nine or yeah, whatever you mentioned. And hey, like, the roster that we put on the field on Sunday could definitely get there. If Pittsburgh got there last year with that roster, I feel like we have a better roster this year. And it's just up to now, you know, keeping that momentum going and overcoming adversity in the first week, which the Saints do well, usually. So, and just to speak to your Quan point, like, one play that stands out was on third down, and he ran from, like, you know, left side of the field to right side of the field in, like, you know, 2.4 seconds, and he took the proper angle, and he tackled the guy before he got out of bounds. I think it was Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if it was fourth down, I know Green Bay converted it, but still, the next three downs were 3 and out, and then we got the ball back, and that play showed how much he had. And if anyone's going to talk about adversity, it's Quan Alexander coming back from a torn Achilles only 8 months ago to be flying all over the field and showing that he is a true leader and wants to be there, like, to win, and only to win at all costs on any down, any play, right? So, Quan, you're right. Quan's energy is what's the word? You can't replace that. It's irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Between all that, I think the Saints look like they are the team that they should be, that we kind of thought they could be, and now, you know, obviously a divisional foe coming up in Carolina, where we don't have the best track record of success in Carolina. Like, recently, yes, but, you know, over the past decade or so, it's probably 5-5 there, right? So, he's got to be ready, man.
Yeah. The one thing that stood out to me, I watched the game a couple times after that, you know, just doing things around the house and having it play in the background and then actually, like, paying attention to a couple things. Our receivers didn't play great, you know, from a totality standpoint of getting open. Are the pockets that Jameis was working with were unbelievable. Like, there was one play, the throwaway. I kept on watching that. He's standing in the pocket for 6 seconds or 5 seconds or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And he's got all the... And our guys weren't getting separation, which, like, at first when they brought Kenny Stills in, I was like, why are they bringing Kenny Stills in? Like, we got Callaway, we got Trey... Like, guys are coming back. What's the point? And then it hit me. I'm like, our guys didn't play well. So they weren't getting much separation. Like, Deontay Harris at the end of the game when it's already wrapped, that's kind of like the icing on the cake and slap Aaron Rodgers in the face. You know what I mean? So that didn't happen when the game was in the balance. So I am interested to see how our wide receivers play today. Carolina's defense is young. Are they great? No. Are they bad? Absolutely not. And Carolina's a team with Joe Brady that could jump on you in a hurry. I don't think that's going to happen, but we don't know. Our defense is going to be missing key guys at every level. I am surprised that Marshawn practiced today. And that in and of itself, I think, is going to be pretty interesting to see if he actually plays this week after surgery a couple days ago. But, I'm really interested to see what happens with our wide receiver group and see how they perform. What are your thoughts about the Kenny Stills coming back in? You feeling that Kenny is going to be a good fit? You feel like Kenny's just going to be a practice guy they're holding on to just in case things break down? Like, I really don't know. Like, for myself, I think that Kenny Stills he's 1 year older than Mike. He's still got some stuff in the tank. I really don't think that this is a bad signing, you know, for all intents and purposes. I think that this could be positive.
You keep going.
Yeah, so I think that Kenny Stills, we had a little technical difficulty to start with that. I think that Kenny Stills is going to be a guy, if he can get up to speed with what's going on with the roster, that could pay dividends, because right now it doesn't seem like our guys are really, you know, flying around the ball and doing a great job. So wide receiver group scares me. What about you? You feel confident about the wide receivers? You trying to tell me to relax? What are you thinking?
I think right now we need to be, you know, obviously, like, cautiously optimistic going in every game because of that. Like, you know, with Marquez being the number one guy, and then, you know, Deontay, number two, Chris Hogan, and, you know, little Jordan Humphrey didn't get any routes at all. He just was there to block, you know, the Brown and Coleman effect. But I feel like the next few weeks we'll start to show what we really, really got when Mike gets back.
Yeah.
Obviously in week 7, if Kenny Stills at that point has, you know, relearned the playbook, or maybe just, you know, got his memory back for it, and can do what he can do, because we know that what kind of receiver he is. Like, he's going to be a deep shot guy, maybe some, you know, deeper posts across the middle and not, maybe come back along the sideline, but nothing else you can really get from Kenny Stills, right, that we don't already have, except maybe more sure hands. And reliability, like, is not really injury prone either, right? So that's one good thing that's going for him when compared to Tre'Quan Smith. But I think by week seven, if our five are now, you know, Mike Marquez, Kenny Stills, Deontay Harris, and, you know, X receiver, you want to name whoever the guy might be at that point. I guess Tre'Quan, but yeah, no, I think at that point, then I'll feel really confident that that's the strength of our team again.
I do think
think it's going to take a while to get there.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that, but I think this week what we might see is what we saw in the playoffs. I wonder if Sean's worried to lose Deontay, but I think we see Deontay a little bit more involved in the beginning of this game. I don't think we had to throw the ball around the yard a lot in that Green Bay game, because the game was kind of, it was in hand. Even though it was only a 14-point game, it was in hand. Jameis was able to run for first downs. We were getting a couple of big chunk runs from Alvin Kamara. Tony Jones was churning out, you know, 4 or 5 yards here and there. So, like, the sticks kept on moving, and we kept in good control. And on top of that, we got good field position. So, like, there was no need to really press the ball to wide receivers, I guess you could say. But I think we need more, because we're not going to get, you know, an average starting position of the 43-yard line on a regular basis. So Carolina, I've watched their game against the Jets over and over again. I've watched it 3 times, I think, now. DJ Moore is a Saints killer. It's like Steve Smith left, and then DJ Moore just put on his jersey and came and crushed us. I know they're not the same number, but it's painful because he always seems to have, like, you know, 6 for 120 and 2 touchdowns against us every bloody year. I really hope I hope that, you know, unvaccinated corner is excited to play against DJ Moore and is able to run with him and out physical him, because if that's the case, then we got Terrace Marshall and Robbie Anderson against Bradley Roby, question mark. Mm-hmm. PJ Williams, question mark. So I don't anticipate Sean playing in this game, but just the way that their offense ran, they ran 50% of their plays, you know, through Christian McCaffrey and Chuba Hubbard. Like, Chuba didn't get a ton of touches, but I am interested to see what happens, because Sam Darnold, he made a bunch of bad throws in that game. Like, he made some good ones, but he made a bunch of bad throws in that game. I wonder if we're going to be able to get some pressure on him with what's remaining of our defensive line, and then have, you know, a couple of turnovers like we had in that Green Bay game. What are your thoughts with our defense going up against our offense?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Christian McCaffrey's never really hurt us that much. You know, he's never been like a like you said, a Saints killer, like DJ Moore could be. And I don't know if that game is coming week two yet, after he's coming back from being away from the game since his injury last year. I think our second matchup against them, we might be due for a Christian McCaffrey, you know, attack at some point, but I don't think this week is going to be that week. And I feel like our run defense is so solid that he won't get, you know, many yards on the ground. Granted, in the screen game, if we don't have, you know, the proper set out there for when he's out there, I guess he's kind of terrifying in that regard. But the beauty of having Alvin Kamara on our team is that we go against him every week in practice too.
Yeah.
And we know how those guys want to be, you know, scripted into the playbook for each game. So I think that, like, having Alvin Kamara on our team takes away the terror of what CMC could potentially do to us, because we can plan for him so well.
Yeah.
To your point, you know, the receivers, obviously, that we're going up against, there's, you know, 3 pretty solid receivers. Terrace Marshall, still not quite proven yet, but in Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, not having Marshawn Lattimore out there to run with one of them is going to be the challenge of the day, obviously. And I think, you know, the way that Dennis Allen's going to scheme it up, obviously he's going to have to slide, you know, a safety over top to take away the deep threat of Robbie. But then I don't know how you help out Paulson Adebo on DJ Moore.
Well, it looks like Marcus Williams could do that all by himself, the way he played last week. That play they keep on showing, the interception, his range was just, that's just wild. He's superhuman. But we didn't even talk about the revenge game. This could be Dan Arnold revenge game against us.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh man.
Yeah, you make a lot of good points. I am interested to see, really just how much pressure we can get on Darnold, because I feel like Darnold's one of those quarterbacks, if you get him rattled a little bit, he unravels completely. There's no like recovery. Like, he's not gonna be like, okay, I threw a couple bad ones, I'm okay. Like, he unravels, he chucks it up, and then you get a 2 or 3 interception day, and we walk away with a victory on the road, you know. And I think that's kind of where we're at. But like, their defense is stacked. You know, the difference with their defense to most defenses are, they have no depth, like none. Yeah. So they got Derek Brown and Brian Burns. Either those guys get subbed off or injured at any point in time, they got no rush. You know, Shaq Thompson he looks faster wearing that single digit, doesn't he? The number 7.
I didn't catch much of the Carolina game yet, but
oh, he looks fast.
I'll take your word for it.
He had a one-handed pick off of Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's first pick of the year. Man, it was special. Wow. Yeah, it was pretty sick. And then Dante Jackson and J.C. Horn, they are both, they're the kind of corners that you need to play against Michael Thomas. Because they're both pretty athletic, and they just want to fight you at the line. And yeah, I'm interested to see how we come out with this. I feel like Sean's, you know, I hope Sean hasn't ate the cheese or whatever it is, or bite the cheese. What did he say in that press conference or with the guys?
Yeah, don't eat the cheese.
I hope he's not eating the cheese and filling his oats after everybody's now starting to give him some love for the coaching job he did last week. But if he can get these guys ready to go, I think there's places where we can beat them. New York was able to move the ball, especially when they moved the pocket and Zach Wilson got an extra second or two. Carolina's defense broke down pretty bad on the back end. So if we're able to, you know, get Jameis, you know, a little bit extended time, remove the pocket, get him running out like he did against Green Bay as well, we're probably going to be in a good spot. And we didn't really use Taysom all that much in that first game either. So
no, very sparingly, in fact. And
I wonder why.
I wonder if that's because, is that the way the game was rolling out? Like, we didn't need him in those, you know, crucial short yardage situations as much, or
maybe,
or to like, because I feel like, you know, he had one pass attempt and was it 3 rushes? That's all he had.
Yeah, two of them are inside the goal line, right?
And he wasn't even on the field in tight end position very often either. Or
he lined up as a fullback. Right, so. He lined up as a fullback one time and got the rush.
That's right. That's yeah. Right. But we're used to seeing him sort of like in the slot sometimes, or like, you know, at the tight end helping block on the line, or just, but we saw none of that. So maybe Sean was thinking, you know, yeah, if we're ahead in this game, I don't want to show the cards how we're going to use him again this year with Jameis now, because obviously when Drew goes out to the sideline as a receiver, you know, you can put the Andy Reid out there to guard him and it'd be fine. but if, you know, if you have Jameis out there, now you have a 6'4", you know, athletic quarterback, well, looked athletic anyway, quarterback, who can probably make a play if he had to, like, I feel like there's more of a threat there now, you know, like, it's not just so 11 on 10, you know, like, we got a red card in soccer, now it's advantage them. But yeah, I don't know, interesting today. I didn't taste him not being on the field until you just mentioned it, so.
Yeah, and I think maybe, just maybe, that they did that on purpose. They don't want to, you know, show what they're doing with him, and they got some ideas of things they want to do the next week. So if they don't have to use those plays, this week, all the better, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're sitting here bantering back and forth on, you know, hypotheticals. What are your thoughts for this game? How do you think the game is going to roll out?
I honestly don't feel like, even though we just had an incredible Sunday, I don't feel extremely confident for some reason. I feel like this is a game where it's going to come down to, like, last possession. I feel like last possession is going to win it. And I don't think we're going to be playing that bad, and that's why. I think Carolina will play up and then just might, you know, kind of shock the world with Sam Darnold. Not, like, getting a W against us, but making it closer than it probably should be with the disparity of our team's depths. You know, like, I know we took a hit, but I feel like it's just not going to be like a 28-17 type win. It might be more like a 27-23 type win. And those are very different wins in the division, right? So, honestly, I think we're going to be okay on the ground. I think we'll be able to run the ball a little bit. We'll take some pressure off Jameis Winston. And I think he's going to come back down to reality a little bit. He won't have 5 touchdowns and 0 picks. I can see him throwing his first pick this weekend. But still maintaining his confidence and composure that we saw on the podium after the game on Sunday and Monday in a press conference. I think our defense will be able to, like, you know, show Darnold those ghosts that he sees and Dennis Allen can confuse them because of what they did to A-Rod last week. And I just kind of feel like it's going to be a close divisional game just because it's a, you know, week two. We're still kind of feeling ourselves out and them having a new quarterback that we haven't seen yet, except against the Jets, of course, but that's not really the same thing. It's just going to be a weird game, man. Like a weird game, like it is always in Carolina. I always feel like it's always closer than it should be in Carolina for either team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have much yet. I don't have much yet to really think about that because I haven't watched Carolina enough to know what to expect from them yet. But
I don't feel as nervous as you do. I feel like Carolina is a subpar team. If I looked at their schedule before the year and watched them play, I thought they were about a 5 or 6 win team. Now looking at their, you know, the way they played last week, they had a bad Jets team come in and they held on to a victory. Whereas we went on the road in the heat and dump trucked an angry Aaron Rodgers who wanted to show the world that he's still a star. So I don't want to discredit us or discount our team for the sake of hyping up another. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that's like the common thing. People are like, I don't want to sound too bold. I get it. And I'm not saying this is you. I'm saying people in general. I do want to be bold. I'm going out on a limb and saying I think that this game's over at halftime. We might see Ian Book in this game. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm feeling. Like, that's exactly what I'm feeling. I feel like Sean Payton having Jameis Winston, the number one overall pick in the draft, at one of the 8 guys or 9 guys that have thrown for 5,000 yards in this league, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, Jameis Winston. Or as they said on, Kevin Washington said, Flamis Winningston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have this guy on our roster with all the same guys that we had before. And offensively, we got Alvin Kamara as well, who didn't have to do much last week and got, you know, he's fresh. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling this game could be over. Now, could it be a tighter game? Of course it could be. It's a divisional game. Division games can always be tight. But I've also watched games with Drew Brees where we're not throwing the ball in the air and we've dump trucked Carolina by 3 scores. So,
yeah.
I'm not... The fish that's on my wall right now that I'm looking at is Tampa Bay. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're going to. And if we're sitting here worried about a game against Carolina, then we're nowhere in the realm of beating Tampa Bay or, you know, taking over this division for a 5th year in a row and having Super Bowl aspirations. I do think that this game goes this way. Whoever scores first is going to have momentum for a while. I think we score first. My score of the game is going to be, you know what, screw it. Let's do it. Jameis throws 5 touchdowns again.
Oh, my God.
Alvin Kamara doesn't run one in because he catches 2. One's a screen pass and one's a Texas route. Alvin Kamara's back with the Texas route. We haven't ran that Texas route in New Orleans for a while. The last time I remember Alvin Kamara running that Texas route, Drew threw the ball behind him and it was picked off. I don't know if, I can't remember, it was in the dome. But anyways, Jameis throws 5 touchdowns. The Saints win the game 42 to 17. And the only reason it's 17 is because Carolina scores at the end a no-nonsense touchdown. So it's 42-10. But it ends up 42-17. Jameis throws five touchdowns, and Taysom or Tony Jones runs one in.
Wow.
What do you got?
I'm going to stick with my gut here. I'm going to hope and pray that you're half at least half right, for sure. Because that'd be 21-8, which is still good. But I think I'm going to stay 27-23. They'll kick a bunch of field goals, and I think they'll have the ball at the end, man, with a chance to get a touchdown to win, and our defense will show out, and hopefully, not let that happen. So we were both covering the spread, but you're doing pink slip on your car cover. I'm doing coffee, and that's about it. So, wow.
I can't see a world where the Saints can do what they did to Green Bay. Green Bay's got Davante Adams, and Davante Adams is a superior wide receiver to everything that Carolina's gonna throw up. And then Green Bay's also got a really good tight end in Bob Tonyan. I don't see the return of Dan Arnold being all that scary for us. I don't think he's a great tight end, so they're not gonna hurt us there. And if you have to think, if Quan's hurt, that means we're gonna see a little bit more Zach Bond. It'll be interesting to see Zach Bond in a full role next to DeMario in this game. And then you get to see Christian Ringo and those guys on the interior, space out. It'll be interesting to see what Ryan Nielsen does with those guys if we are down Tano and Davenport both in this game. Do we see more Granderson? Does the kid Peyton Turner finally get to, play some meaningful snaps? It'll be interesting to see how that rotation works and if it's still effective. Because if it's not effective, well, then everything I just said is, probably not correct, and we might actually be in a shootout, if we can't get pressure on Darnold. But again, Darnold was let go by the Jets for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they weren't holding on to him being like, I hope we don't make a mistake here. They're like, just go away. We've seen you for a couple of years now. We played this game. It wasn't fun. It's that carnival game where it's like, hey, come and hit the balls. And no, listen, we've already done that. We've hit the bottles. They don't go down. I'm not playing a stupid game anymore. And that's kind of the Sam Darnold effect. They're trying to revive his career. They're hoping that Joe Brady's going to have the ability to do that with Matt Rhule, both offensive-minded guys. But I just don't see it happening. So who are your three studs of the game? Give me three studs.
I think Marquez Callaway is going to have a game.
Okay.
He was so quiet last game, and his preseason doesn't live up to the hype if he doesn't have a game by week two. I think that Cesar Ruiz might stand out at the center position, starting his natural position, and not allowing any pressures on Jameis, which will allow him to have that big game you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I think because I know that the interior of the D-line in Carolina is a strength too, right? So Cesar is going to have a big game to stop those guys from pressuring Jameis too much. And then my third stud of the week is going to be Marcus Williams again. I think he's going to – he played outstanding in week one. I think it carries over. And I think he has another pick or two off of Darnold going deep on us.
Yeah, you might be right on that one. So, yeah, for me, I'm going chalk. I'm going all chalk. I already said Jameis got five touchdowns, so Jameis is on mine. Alvin Kamara, I could see him busting a big run. Maybe 40 yards from our own 20 and getting pushed out of bounds or something like that. Like, I could see something like that. And then he had a rough first game. This one's not chalk, but it was supposed to be chalk because everybody was touting this guy to be, the second coming of Antonio Gates. But Adam Troutman, where you at, son?
Yeah, big fish.
Where you at, big fish? Yeah. Aquaman.
Oh, he led the team. He led the team in targets.
Right? Yeah, he had six of them. He had six of them. Yeah, six of them things, and he dropped two of them. One of them would have been a touchdown. I think if he catches that ball, on the right side of the field, in the he turns and he has a chance to get into the end zone there.
So.
So wait a minute. So Jameis Winston was 14 for 20, and he had 6 incompletions. Were all 6 of those to Big Fish then?
No. 3 of those were at. Well, how many catches did Big Fish have? How many? I think he had 2 catches, didn't he?
Didn't he?
I thought he had 2. I could be wrong.
He had one. He had one throw. He had the throwaway there.
Yeah, he had the throwaway.
So that was to no one, right?
So let's look at it. Okay. Troutman had 3 catches. 3 catches for 18 yards. So he dropped 2, and then one was not a good throw. So 3 of Jameis's incompletions. Right. 3 of Jameis's incompletions were to Troutman. 2 of them should have been caught.
So Jameis could have 80% completion rate had he caught those 2 balls.
And he might have broke 150.
And made his weekend look. Yeah, exactly. Now he's only on pace for 2,400 yards, man.
Yo, you know about
he's the. Only on pace for 2,400, buddy.
Did you hear about the escalator?
On pace for 85 touchdowns.
Did you hear about the escalator in his contract? So every five touchdowns he throws is $1 million. So up to I think it's up to 5 million. Every 5 touchdowns he throws is $1 million. So Jameis has already earned $1 million worth of escalators in his contract in that first game. So put it this way. If Jameis goes 5 this game, let's extrapolate, all right? Okay. If Jameis throws 5 this game, that's 10 after 2. We got 15 games left. Let's say he just averages 2 over the next 15 games with 10 in the bag. That's 40 touchdowns.
Yeah. That's...
Okay, let's be crazy now. Let's say he averages 3. Okay? That's 55 touchdowns. I'm going to say that again for you, okay? If he averages 3 touchdowns after going 5 more this week, he's got 55 touchdowns in his first year with Sean Payton as the starting quarterback in New Orleans. And I've already made a bet. I don't know if I'm a stupid person, but I'm a believer. I'm a believer. If everybody out there that is close to the Saints is a believer, I'm a believer. I'm not going to be, tuned in and tied into what's going on with Saints media and listening to, the ins and outs of people that we trust and that are in the building all the time. And they're like, yo, I trust him. I think this isn't an act. I think it's real. When I heard that, I'm like, screw it. So I made a bet. I'm not going to say how much, but it's a big bet that Jameis will not. The line is 16. 16 is a push. 15, I win. 17, I lose for interceptions. He's at 0 with 16 games left. If we clinch a playoff spot, he's going to sit a game. So essentially, I got 15 games left. I mean, that's a pick a game. There's my math. So I'm hoping that he stays under that. I don't know, man.
What were the odds on that?
Don't worry. It's just a bet. It's a big bet with a buddy of mine.
Oh, just straight up.
Like, yeah, he's a Dallas Cowboys. He's a Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. So there was some bourbon involved and a lot of screaming. And then a reluctant bet, and then the awareness of
this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie. Like a lot of bourbon, screaming, and a reluctancy. I don't know if this is.
Welcome to the 2017 to 2020 New Orleans Saints seasons.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, my man. Well, we got to cut this one short tonight, but we will jump back on after and talk in the post game about how the Saints beat the Carolina Panthers, 42-10 or 17 if they get that last touchdown or not. I see I'm stuck on 10 now because I'm like, I don't want them to get 17. Or if it was, what was yours, 21-18? 27-23. I don't like that. I don't like them scoring 23 points on us.
No, I know.
That makes me upset. That actually, I'm going to go to bed angry now. I'm going to be like, 23? What do you think this is? What do you think? We got Sterling Moore, BW Webb starting, Stanley Jean-Baptiste? Come on now.
Oh, my gosh.
We got Paulson Adebo and the rest of the Ohio State Buckeyes starting in our secondary.
Yes, we need Urban Meyer to come and take a shift down in our.
Oh, man. That would be. How bad would it be trying to cheer for the Saints with that guy standing on the sidelines, man? Like, I get it. I know we got to get out of here. But at the same token, how lucky are we would have Sean Payton? Just consistency.
So damn lucky.
Like, it's us.
We never have to.
Go ahead.
We never have to feel like it's going to be a bad year. Like, even our 7-9 years, we went, you know, 3 in a row. I still, every game, I still felt good. Like, we could still win it and still get to the playoffs. And until we were, you know, mathematically eliminated, I still felt like there's still a chance with him. Like, you never feel like it's going to be a bad year or a bad game. Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's us, Pittsburgh, and New England. You know, just, and I guess you could say Seattle as well. Like, the four of us have got continuity, and then everybody in the NFL is just, like, searching for another guy to take the guy that they already got. Like, who's happy with their coaches, really? L.A.? L.A. is happy with McVay. Kansas City. Yeah, sorry, Kansas City with Andy Reid. I forgot about them. But, like, don't get it twisted. If Cleveland goes 10-7 this year, and they're, like, the sixth seed going into the playoffs, Stefanski's on the hot seat. Vegas is tied to Gruden because they've given him all this guaranteed money. They're not going to fire a guy with a 10-year guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
Like, Vrabel's already on the hot seat because Tennessee lost one game to start the season. You know what I mean? People are already like, maybe he's not the guy for the job. Like, the NFL is such a fickle league when it comes to job security. So I am really lucky that Sean Payton is our head coach. At least we get to just enjoy it, and there's stability there in that.
And if he has found his next, you know, quarterback of the future, like,
oh, 10 more years,
right?
Like, yeah, or he walks away when he wants to.
Ouch! I didn't want to think about that. See, that's how much I love the guy. Like, just even in I know his contract is good until 2025.
So you said that incorrectly. Until he wants it to be.
That's true. But I feel like that. If he lives out the length of his contract, and we're talking 2025, like, I don't want that year to come yet, or for the next 10 years. Like, let's rewind 5 and take 5 more back and get 5 more with Sean.
Dude, that'll be 20 years he'll have been the coach in New Orleans.
And it still won't be enough.
We're getting old. Did you hear what I just said? Sean Payton's been the coach in New Orleans for 20 years in 2025.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That is wild, man.
Wow. Time has gone by so fast.
But and yet... ugh.
Let's not sit in rocking chairs, you know, shining our shotguns now.
Yeah.
Talking about the good old days yet, because they're still among us.
There are a lot of good old days. You know, and one last thing before we get out of here. All you Saints fans that might be listening to this, or, you know, like, just anybody, and I'm going to tweet this out as well. Jameis is going to throw an interception at some point in time. Do not get on Twitter and be like, oh, Jameis... because that's going to get real annoying, real old, real quick. There's not one quarterback in the NFL that's going to play a full slate and not throw some interceptions. It happens. You know, and I don't think Sean can protect him from himself the entire time. He's going to have to let it loose. And there's going to be some picks. That's just going to happen. Cheer your guy on. He's got the black and gold on his chest with that number 2, you know, looking svelte and busting his tail. You're trying to get us a W. If he throws a pick, support him, pick him up, and let's move on.
Like, the craziest season, I think, in that regard is definitely Nick Foles, when he went 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Oh, yeah, that was... He didn't play the whole season, though. He didn't play the whole season. He only came in, like, in relief, right?
But that ratio is insane, though.
He got protected quite a bit in that season. Yeah. Quite a bit.
If Jameis has that kind of year, I'll take 27 touchdowns and 2 picks over 55 and... 14 or whatever he might end up with, but
you know what, I'm just guessing. I bet you 12 of those touchdowns were to tight ends and running backs.
Oh yeah, for sure. All in like the 6 yards and in.
Yeah, there are those. I bet you, like, when they talk about air yards, he was at like two air yards.
yeah, none of this 50 nonsense you've been debating about all.
I'm not. Nope. I purposely did not bring that up. I'm not partaking in that. Drew Brees is the only quarterback in the history of the game to throw for 5,000 yards 5 times. I'm not interested in this stupid 50-yard stat. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
that's somebody who has no time, like nothing in their life real to deal with, and they have too much time, and they came up with some stacks. They don't like New Orleans. I'm so the disrespect for the legend is just, it's unbearable. I'm done.
Okay.
No, thank you.
You're going to bed mad.
No, yeah. Scored. Now I'm pissed off. I was happy.
50 air yards and 23 points. Now pissed you off to the point.
You ain't
sleeping tonight.
Went for a run. We'll go for a run. This is brutal. Anyways, man, life is good. Life is gravy. I can't wait for Sunday. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to finally be at home for the first time with my feet up watching a game live. Oh, it's going to be nice. Just relaxing and get to watch it. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's a noon game, so you have the whole day afterwards. It's going to be 30 degrees here in Winnipeg, Celsius, that is. Not
yeah. We might actually do a little like pre-game pod for 5 minutes right before the game. Just talk some smack. Look at the sits and the starts there. Talk with some fantasy as well. Anyways, Hudap fans, enjoy it. Life is gravy. Life is awesome. Take a second. We love y'all. Hudap.
Who that man?
All right.